Before we start the show, I want to give you guys a reminder that the entries for the 5th annual Sleepwire Pro-Am are still available. We're still taking entries for a couple more weeks now. If you haven't heard of it, it's a large charity league with analysts, podcasters, and writers from around the fantasy industry, such as Justin Boone, Jake Seeley, Marcus Grant, Pat Fitzmaurice, Matt Harmon, Ryan McDowell, and more. We are keeping the entry fee the same as last year. It's $50 to get into a Pro-Am, $30 to get into a Sleepwire Listener League, or $75 for both. Go to sleepwire.com/donate. After you've donated, take a screenshot of the confirmation and email it to sleepwire@gmail.com. Include your name, email address, and sleeper username, and we will get you on the list. We had 7 leagues last year. Let's make this year the biggest year yet.
Welcome everybody to a new segment on Dynasty Wire called Dynasty Shop Talk, where we talk to take all and any questions and try our best to answer them. My name is Greg, also known as the Dynasty Mechanic, and I'm super excited to be your host this evening. Today I have with me the one and the only Professor Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Happy to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm super excited for the show, and we'll talk about more about that. Also have with me is, I hope we get a little dirty tonight, but that's a Dirty Mike.
Dirty What's job happening, Mike. Man?
Yes, dirty job. That's okay. Dirty Mike works too. I'm excited to be your goat this evening. That was pretty funny to watch right there happen just right in front of me. It's that's fixed. Good stuff.
Dirty Mike is what Mike's girlfriend calls him.
That's right. I believe it. She likes it dirty.
I have no doubts. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the show. This is not a normal Dynasty Wire. The Draft Genius is not here, so this is a little different segment. The purpose of this show is to answer questions for you guys. Any kind of question, whatever it be. We have all sorts of different kind of questions tonight, actually. And that's kind of the gist. And without further ado, let's dive into our first question. The first one is by at Schwartz625 on Sleeper. It's a standard PPR Superflex. And he had the question pertaining CEH. He says, I have CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in a Dynasty startup. I also have CMC, Jacobs as my starter, Josh Jacobs. Really hurting at quarterback with Wentz, Stidham, Winston as my only QB. Thinking of flipping CEH while his value seems high for more QB depth / next year's picks. Or should I keep the 3 potential top 10 RB on my team? We'll start with you, Chris.
I mean, he's already got 2 top 10 running backs. He's got Christian McCaffrey and Josh Jacobs. I mean, those are both, I mean, you could argue top 5 picks in just a standard, you know, dynasty startup league. Having Clyde Edwards-Helaire on top of that is pretty awesome. It honestly depends. His value is never going to be higher, so you can get a lot for him, but I don't know if I would trade him for anything less than one of the elite quarterbacks. I mean, I would, in a super flex, I would try to get Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. See if you can't start there.
Both of them?
Or.
I'm like, that's a little greedy. I like it. What do you think, Mike?
You know, I'm kind of on the same line of thinking there. You know, I feel like I want to keep CEH here because I like the power, the potential. I mean, and if this is super flex, this does change my mind a little bit because he's very weak if this is super flex. But if this is single quarterback, I'm going to roll the dice with Wentz this season. Stidham and Winston on my bench, it hurts, but Winston being on your bench for next season or the season after, that's probably not going to be a bad thing. So this is Dynasty. I'm feeling like I'm decently set up, but I'm with Chris. I mean, if I'm going to take that move, it's going to cost you Mahomes. It's going to cost you Lamar Jackson. And I mean, we might even go straight across right there. I probably won't need to add anything to it for one of those guys. But if we go any tiers below that, you're going to have to add some stuff to it too.
No, for sure. I lean more of, I don't think that's just realistic. If I'm a Mahomes owner, I'm going to say get the F out of here personally, or Jackson owner. Now, if I owned Watson or if I owned Dak, I'd be like, yes, I will gladly take CEH off your hands in that format. Now they're about probably worth about the same right now. You might need a little bit more on the Dak side, for instance, or the Watson side. But for the most part, I would try to move CEH for a top five quarterback, because you're moving a top five running back for a top five quarterback. I would do that personally.
Now we do have to mention that it is super flex, though, like you said, and Wentz is his only starting quarterback. So does that change things? I mean, obviously you don't want to trade Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but does that make you, you know, lean towards selling him for less than Dak Prescott?
No, I personally think you can get Dak Prescott easily with CEH right now, his value, because right now he's going in the first round of startups and ADP. Like, there's no reason to sell any less than Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott is going around the same price. So if you want to go get a Dak Prescott or a Watson, go ahead and get him.
Yeah, I think I like that move a lot for you, especially if it's super flex. Like I said, if it's super flex, I'm very interested.
It is.
Okay, yeah, then for sure. I'd do that.
Yeah, and he got offered, he told me he got offered Breeze, Swift, and a 2021 first. Would you do that?
Breeze is too old. I can't do Breeze right there.
Yeah, what do you think, Chris?
I would not do that.
Same. I also told him I would not do that either, because they're trading such a young asset. And Swift, I like Swift. Swift was one of my top running backs coming out this year, but if you're trying to go for a better quarterback, and Breeze is a good quarterback, but he has one tops 2 years left. He's 41. There's no way he's lasting beyond 2 years, in my opinion.
Yeah, no way. No, that's where you're getting robbed, is the quarterback age right there. Like I said, I mean, I'm happy. I mean, if you don't get the deal that you're looking for, just tuck CEH in your super flex spot and call it a day. Like, you'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So if, instead of Breeze, what would you want instead? Like, what kind of quarterback would you slot in there instead of
I think I'm with you on Dak Prescott. I think that's a really good even move right there. Deshaun Watson, another good even move for me right there. Like I said, I would go for Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes just to see where the conversation got me. I might have to add a piece or something like that if I'm going to get him to pull the trigger. But yeah, I think I'd feel good about one of those guys. I think that's really, really good even value right there.
Well, what I was saying, it's like, instead of Breeze, Swift, and 2021 first, keep the Swift and 2021 first piece. What would you insert instead of the Breeze?
Ah, yeah. See, so for me, like, man, that's tough, because I'm just trying to think of a good young quarterback, and there really just isn't a whole lot out there that.
What about Daniel Jones?
See, I'm just not. I don't think Daniel Jones is that good. I mean, like, I think he's decent, but I don't think he's good enough to be involved in this kind of a trade. So he was who my brain first went to. I'm like, man, is there really, I mean, the only good quarterbacks are old guys right now. I can't think of anybody that's young. That's
Yeah. Kyler Murray, but he's up there with Watson. Right. And Dak.
Right. Yeah. I see, Kyler Murray would be a good one right there. I think you'd be getting him on the way up too. So, but I think you could get more than Kyler Murray in that trade. I think you would be on the advantage side of that one.
One thing I might consider is, instead of getting a really old quarterback and, you know, a guy who is the backup running back on his team, because Kerryon Johnson's still going to be the starter, right? Like, I think they're still going to at least open the season with him until he gets injured, right? I think kind of maybe flipping that and going the opposite direction. Hmm. Get Joe Burrow and an RB2.
I like it. I should like that
a lot.
Yeah,
Joe Burrow's
like, what do you think? What do you mean, like a Vaughn, or are you thinking more of, like, what are you thinking, Chris?
I'm thinking more like Joe Burrow and Kareem Hunt, or maybe Gurley, if you still believe in him, or Burrow and Chris Carson, guys like that. Now, you might not be able to get, you know, an RB1 in addition to Joe Burrow, but you never know, because CEH is, you know, stock is insanely high. I don't think I would do it for Vaughn.
No, I don't think I would either. I was just curious what the price range. Yeah, I kind of get that. I'd maybe like a Connor Burrow and 2021 first. I'd do with that. Like, James Connor would be a bad consolation prize, in my opinion. All right, let's move on to the next question, which is, this is a lot more dealing with the COVID area. This was sent in by email. It said, hi, folks. If the upcoming NFL season gets underway and then suspended or shortened, how should fantasy leagues handle it? It will be a big issue in the money leagues for sure. Probably a good idea to have it decided prior to the season. What are your thoughts? My thinking, he continues, is if the season ends prior to week 8, all money carries over to the next year entry. And this year never happened. If the season lasts 8 weeks or longer, the final standings are determined by records at that time, with total points being the tiebreaker. If the season ends during the fantasy playoffs, seeding of the remaining teams determines the final outcome. I'll be interested to hear what you folks have to say. Thanks in advance, Team Clyde. Thanks, Clyde, for asking the question. I'll start with Dirty Mike.
Man, is it... Oh, that is tough. So for me, I'm thinking like... I'm thinking he might have almost the perfect recipe for it right there. I mean, that's actually not bad. I think week 8's a great cutoff point. I think anything after that, I like how it's determined. But I feel like though the entire inside of me is just shouting to say, if the season gets canceled at any point in time during the year, everything gets carried over to next year. I think that would probably be the most fair way to do that, because it's so many times the championship is different and so many different things. So I would have to say my final vote would be no.
So even like it's week 15 of the season, in the middle of the fantasy playoffs, like literally the semifinals, you still would say that?
I would. I really would. Yeah. I feel like that just takes the fun out of it. You know, like it makes it an asterisk season. As opposed to a real actual championship. So for me, I'm going to carry it over no matter what. That's my vote.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. First, Clyde, huge props. This is the guy who's donated. He's going to be in the Pro-Am this year.
Oh, nice.
So yeah. So Clyde getting a shout out. Thank you for your donation. Super happy to have you. Let's go back to if it gets canceled during the fantasy playoffs. You know, honestly, I would not be okay with seeding determining the final outcome. So just because you had a first round bye and you were first place going into the playoffs, if it gets canceled and you're on a bye, you shouldn't get the win, you know? Like in last year's Pro-Am, in my particular league, I had the best record. So I had a first round bye. I was ranked number one the number one seed going into the playoffs, but I didn't win. I got knocked out in the semifinals. Should I have gotten the money though? If, you know, it had been canceled the week before, that's not really fair. So I think if it's canceled during the playoffs, playoff teams should be able to split the pot evenly. If you didn't make the playoffs, you already weren't going to matter. So all of that money should be split evenly between the players.
Yeah, I like that a lot more than my idea. I like that a whole lot more. That sounded way better.
So we're concerned about the money aspect of this, which is important, obviously. And I like Chris's idea when it comes to the money aspect as well. But we're forgetting something very vitally important. Draft picks. If there is no NFL season, or, you know, if we get canceled week 8 or before, what do you do with the draft order? We'll start with you, Chris.
So you're talking about the draft order the following season, I'm assuming?
For rookies, obviously, yes.
For rookies, then at that point, I think you have to go in reverse order of standings.
Yes. That's what I was going to say too. I think that's the only way. Like
what, starting at what week?
The week it was canceled.
Okay. Well, I have an interesting proposal. This is why I'm planning on doing my leagues. Is this. So let's say it got canceled week 8. Let's just say. Okay. And at that point, you're going to randomize the bottom 6 teams. And then from standings wise, 1 to 6, it's going to be completely per what it's supposed to be. So if you're last place currently, you get a 1-1 pick all the way to the 6th spot. And the 6th spot is determined by most points that typically in my leagues I commission. After that, what I'm going to do is actually randomize the final 6 spots for the playoffs. So if you have a playoff team that's in the last 6, it's not fair for one guy who has a loaded team who just had some bad luck for injuries or whatever it basically just makes it more randomized. That way, if you're going to playoffs, just because they are equally as just random and it's all about luck, therefore you get as much luck picking which pick you get.
I mean, but then you're talking about a team that, you know, could be 8-0 has the number 7 overall pick in a 12 team.
Yeah, but as you said, you got an 8-0 in the playoffs and went out right away.
Right, but I, you know, if you make the playoffs, you're going to be closer to 12 than you are the middle.
Right.
Sure, and maybe do the bye weeks and make that jumbled up a little bit different. Maybe like the last 4 randomized versus the last 6.
I mean, this whole thing's a mess, that's for sure.
Yeah. It is. Good luck to every commissioner out there. Like, dear God, I am scared for the Lisa commission. I'm like, I don't, because I know I'm going to make someone unhappy no matter what I do. And it's terrifying.
This is something that, I mean, it's going to have to go to your league vote, and majority is going to have to rule. And I don't know if it'd be majority or if you would need totality with this vote, everybody in like 100%. But, you know, there's got to be a cutoff point where everybody gets their money back if the season, you know, either doesn't start or gets canceled early on. What do you guys think that cutoff point is?
I think week 8 is a cutoff point for me. Like, if it's week 8 and before, I will just roll the money over next year and no one pays dues next year. And that's that simple. And then we'll worry about draft picks and how that's done.
Yeah, I feel like if the season hasn't happened by week 3, then I'm sending it out. You know, I'm like, okay, this is a loss. I feel like if we have a season up until X amount, then yeah, I feel like I'm going to just roll it over till next year. And yeah, determine the playoff order, the picks by reverse standings. That's how I'd roll.
Yeah. So, in other words, Clyde, we kind of agree with what you're saying for the most part.
I was going to say that we addressed what happens if it gets canceled during the fantasy playoffs and a cutoff point being week 8, where everybody gets their money back. But suppose we have that cutoff point of week 8 and the season gets canceled week 10. So between that cutoff point where everyone gets their money back and the fantasy playoffs, no one's in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, some people probably already have it locked up by then, but, you know, let's assume nobody's in the playoffs yet. How does that happen? Do you just go by standings at that point?
I still say no. I still say you kind of randomize the end, kind of jumble it up a bit. I still say the first 6.
I was talking about the money.
Yeah. Oh, the money. Oh.
I see. That's why I say you got to cash it out or you got to roll it over. To me, you can't. You just can't have a payoff in a season that doesn't have a fruition and a completion.
Yeah, I agree. Either you split up evenly with the last 6 teams and call it like that, or you just roll it over to next year.
So then the cutoff wouldn't be week 8. The cutoff would be the fantasy playoffs.
Hmm.
You see what I'm getting at here?
No, I see exactly what you're throwing down. But I feel like week 8, you kind of know where your team's heading, though. You know, at that point, you know whether you're going to be a contender or not, or you're on the brink of being a contender.
A brink of being a contender could mean a lot of things, though. You know, like that's where, like I said, to me, it's just so much easier to say nope. If the season cancels, we're just rolling it over to next year. Playoff order is reverse standings of exactly what it is that day. Like, and if you're in, and if you're in first place and you got last pick, and you, I mean, like that's just is what it is. It sucks. 2020 sucks. Like,
it does. Yeah, man. This year is awful.
It really is. I'm just hoping for a full season. That's all I'm really asking for. At least 15 weeks. That's all I'm asking for.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't think we can consider the verge of the playoffs either, because a couple seasons ago I won a championship with a 7-6 team.
Yeah.
Sure.
So anyone can get hot at any point in time, or, you know, have a great week against the best team, you know, if you eke into the playoffs. So I think where I'm settling on all of this is that if it's canceled during the fantasy playoffs, all the playoff teams just split the money evenly, and the non-playoff teams who didn't have a shot anyway don't get their money.
Sure.
If it's canceled before the fantasy playoffs, everybody's money just rolls over to the next year. Nobody wins. That's kind of where I'm at with this.
And what you should do just to be awesome is just roll it over and then pay your dues again next year so you have like a double pot next year.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people will be all
make
for
2021
that.
The roaring 20s.
Absolutely. It's full of swing dancing
there
and booze.
Go.
I love
there
it.
Go.
All right. All right. Well, I think we've beaten that enough.
Didn't you guys just do an FFU episode about this too?
About COVID and players and everything like that. Yeah. About how, you know, you got a lot of people out there drafting so deep and everything like that. And we're like, man, these people aren't starting in the NFL for a reason. I mean, there's handcuffs that are worth it, but most of them aren't and things like that. So yeah, we're just kind of doing a very in-depth breakdown, a team by team breakdown. It's pretty neat. It's fun.
Yes. Nice. Guys, you definitely go listen to that, by the way, on Sleeper Wired, FFU. It's good stuff.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next question. We have plenty of time still, so we can always come back to these other questions if you guys want to. Dents asks, CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or Taylor, Jonathan Taylor, in Dynasty? Chris, what do you think?
I mean, longtime listeners of the show know that I'm a Colts fan, so probably won't be surprised to hear me say Jonathan Taylor, because that's who I'm going with.
but why?
I mean, the skill set is just better. Yeah, I will say Clyde Edwards-Helaire is in a better situation as of this year. But Jonathan Taylor is a better overall player. He's going to run away with a starting job in Indianapolis. I didn't necessarily agree with the pick. I think they probably should have maybe taken a quarterback a little bit earlier than they did, because I like Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines, but Jonathan Taylor is just, he's the best parts of Mack and Hines put into one running back. He's bigger. I think he's going to have more longevity in the league as a three down back, where Edwards-Helaire, I can see more towards playing more of like a Theo Riddick or Austin Eckler type role in the long term.
So you don't see him as Brian Westbrook 2.0?
No.
You know, Andy Reid does.
I mean, coach speak. We're in August.
He said that back in the draft.
I know he did. How big was Brian Westbrook, though?
About the same size.
Was he? He was 5'7"?
He was 5'7". I'm pretty sure he was pretty damn short, if I remember correctly. I think it's 5'9 tops. Still pretty short. Let's keep going. Mike, what do you think?
I'll Dents, I'm going to answer your question with a question. Which one of these players was handpicked by the Michael Jordan of football, Patrick Mahomes? And that's all I'll say about that. I mean, the guy's going to come out there with like straight starting value. Where's Damian Williams? He's on his couch because he's worried about COVID. So here we go. You know, CEH is a go. Taylor is going to have to earn that job in a season where he hasn't. I mean, Taylor in Dynasty, yes, he's got a little bit more value than what he does right now as like a redraft league, because I don't really see him doing much this year at all. Where I see CEH coming out right out the gate and just being usable, and he's a tough dude. Like, I think he's going to fit into that offense well.
Well, Westbrook was 5'10".
I know. I looked at him. I am shooketh. Yeah, I thought he was shorter for some reason. Wow. Shit. Oh, talking out of my ass. It's great.
Now, in the realm of Dynasty, I'm going to stick with Jonathan Taylor. Redraft, it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire for sure for me. But in Dynasty, which, you know, and this is Dynasty Shop Talk, this show's about Dynasty, I'm going to take
Yeah, I'd rather have any piece of the Chiefs than any piece of the Colts. So no offense there, buddy, but give me the team that's winning Super Bowls.
So I agree with Mike to
19-0 with Rivers.
Oh, stop it, Chris. It's not going to happen. You stop that. Old man Rivers is going to need a crutch or something by the end of this time. So I agree with Mike to a certain extent, not just because Mahomes wanted him. I agree with more of the fact that he's on a more explosive offense. I do have concerns about his size, sure, but I don't think he's going to be an Eckler type. I think he can do it all. He has proven he can do it all. He is a better receiver between the two in PPR. So as PPR, I think CEH personally, the better offense, more explosive offense, more goal line touches, more touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera. If it's standard, JT all day. Because I know for a fact CEH is not going to touch the ball probably more than 20, 25 times a game, tops. Because they don't need to run the ball. They got Patrick Mahomes behind the home. You don't need to run the ball 30-plus times. Or Jonathan Taylor can do it all day long. So in a points per carry league, I go Jonathan Taylor. It's just there's a lot of, but he said it's just PPR. So we're going to go with this, that, and that's CEH for me.
You're on the winning side. You're on the winning side, Greg.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Awesome. Yeah, and I know most people, and at least for potential, at least you could probably sell CEH for Taylor and get something back out of it.
Yeah, and I would highly recommend doing that.
Yes, I would too, actually. I would do that. Because right now the price for CEH is ridiculous right now for a rookie. Last time I remember, besides Saquon Barkley, a rookie coming out that was this height. His name was Trent Richardson. We all know how well that worked out.
Yeah.
I don't ever draft a rookie in the first round, unless your name's Saquon Barkley, because that guy was a generational talent. That was completely different. CEH was not coming out as generational talent. He is not Saquon Barkley. The hype around CEH is ridiculous and stupid. Sell while you can, in my opinion. I have a couple of shares. I am thinking about selling. I haven't done it yet. I probably should. So thanks, Stents, for reminding me to sell CEH. So, let's, you guys have any other thoughts on CEH before we move on? We have time.
No, but nope. I laid it out. Oh.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on. Dad Runner asks, what player are you targeting in late rounds as potential sleepers? We'll go ahead and go with Dirty Mike.
I laugh every time you say that. So for me, and I have a real tough time pronouncing his name, but it's Albert Aquagnum.
All I gotta say is Albert O, man. That's how Mizzou. I'm from Missouri, so that's all we've always called him is
Albert O. Okay, so I like that because I can pronounce that. So Albert O is a guy who I'm actually targeting in a lot of my drafts late. Another guy. I'm always a tight end guy, right? Because tight end value is really hard to find, and it's Thaddeus.
Well, Moss. Your name is Dirty Mike, so I hope you.
That's it. You got to. You have to. When you're me, you got to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so I mean, those are two tight ends that I can see really being standout guys coming up and just exploding onto the scene. Your first year always not good for a tight end, so I don't have huge expectations. They're sitting on my taxi squads where I have these guys. But I'm grabbing them. That's my late round sleepers. I think they're, you know, in 3 years we're gonna love these picks.
So Albert O, and I missed the other one because I was rude.
Thaddeus Moss.
What was the other one?
Thaddeus Moss.
Love Moss as well. I do love Moss. Okay, for sure. All right, Chris, what do you got?
I got a couple guys here. First one, for wide receiver, I have Tyrell Williams. Now, and I'm basing this off of a 12-team Superflex PPR startup that I just finished, actually, just finished earlier today. I got Tyrell Williams at the 18-01, which I think is pretty great. I mean, so he signed a big deal with the Oakland Raiders a couple years or last offseason, four year, $43.3 million. Scored a touchdown four straight games to begin last year. He had the plantar fasciitis, which kind of sucked for him, but over his career, he's averaged more than 15 yards per catch. So he's not like a huge PPR guy, but he can easily break off a big play or two and give you a great performance. He gets at least 18 to 20 fantasy points or more a few times a season. So he's a weak winning type of wide receiver to get super late. So I am definitely feeling Tyrell Williams as a late round pick. Jordan Howard, I got him in the 12th round. I mean, he's a starting running back that you can get that late, which is kind of unheard of to get a starting running back that late, you know? Like, it's not going to be the Matt Breida show. It's going to be Jordan Howard and then Matt Breida as a change of pace. And getting a starting running back who will put up RB2 production, because he does that every single year in the 12th round, is pretty awesome. Do you guys know how old Jordan Howard is?
He's like 25 tops, right?
Yeah, he's only 25.
Yeah.
He seems way older than that.
Because it's not a sexy pick, you know? He's not. He's
absolutely
a good,
not.
He's just gets 1,000 yards, and then that's what he does. And then teams kind of move on from that over time. And I think that's what most people are kind of scared about, because it's like, well, that's nice and all. I want a running back that can take it to the house at any time. Where I love Jordan Howard because He's going to get you 5 yards. If you need 5 yards, he'll get you 5 yards.
And then I got two more. My favorite tight end, Blake Jarwin, and then Alan Lazard. I mean, no Funchess. Lazard is the clear number two for Aaron Rodgers.
Fallon is screaming right now, by the way, Chris.
Good.
She's a huge Lazard fan. And yes, I also love those picks as well. I do indeed. My guys are typically any second year wide receiver who did nothing their first year. So that's Jay-Jaw. That's Paris Campbell. The list goes on. Because those guys, due to injury most of the time or just learning the playbook, didn't get the chance to perform. And a lot of people forget about them. And you can get them late. You can get them 18, 19, 20 round. Paris Campbell probably a little sooner than that, sure. But those are guys I would be targeting because they are going to have a leg up on any rookie that comes in. That includes Jalen Reagor. That includes Michael Pittman. There's no camp. You know, there's camp right now, but there's no preseason. And they're just, they know the playbook better than the rookies will. And I always target second-year wide receivers a lot because they don't, a lot of times they don't do anything. So there's a couple guys I target. I'm also targeting Antonio Gandy-Golden. He plays for the Washington team. Not the Redskins anymore, so I caught myself. I love that guy. That's guys I'm targeting my rookie drafts, late third, early fourth round pick. The guy, Kelvin Harmon, is opting out this year. Or no, he was not opting out. He got injured this year. I know he's out for the year. Antonio Gannon-Golden is a huge guy. He's going to play opposite of Terry McLaurin. Oh, I said you got me all mixed up, Chris. What the heck? It's all your fault.
He does that.
Real quick, speaking of Terry McLaurin, this exact dynasty league that I was just talking about, Prophet Hoos is in it as well, and there's a friend of mine who's in there who only had one starting quarterback. He just says Derek Carr, and then it was Tyrod Taylor, Jalen Hurts, Kyle Allen after that, so he needs another one in a super flex. I just traded him Phillip Rivers, who was my third quarterback after Kyler and Burrow. Mm-hmm. For Terry McLaurin.
Oh, you robbed that poor bastard.
Yeah, and who drafted 7 quarterbacks?
Oh, that douche.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, huge, huge bag move.
Wow. Right there,
because he saw other people weren't taking him, so he's like, well, it's going to be trade bait. He drafted 5 in a row from round 6 through 10, which is ridiculous. So I was like, let me jump on this before Hoos has a chance to do it.
Right? Like, I whenever I deal with those people in my dynasty league, this guy kept on just drafting rookie quarterbacks after all over and over and over again. I go, no, I'm not paying what you want me to pay. I'll pay what the fair price is. And I never traded for him. And he still has 5 quarterbacks. I'm like, okay, I'm cool with Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. I don't need a third quarterback.
That's
fine.
That's what I keep seeing happening. When you see people hoard quarterbacks, they end up getting stuck with a shit ton of quarterbacks. Like,
exactly, because no one wants
to pay. No, they eventually do, but by the time they do pay, you're just getting equal value for them. You know, it's not like you're getting this legendary huge thing for it.
Nope. And I think someone did pay up at one point, and I was like, whatever, they're lost. Like, it's don't overpay for players as much as you might want that player. Like, I'm a huge George Kittle fan because I'm a huge homer. I will not pay out the ass for him. I'll pay what's fair value for him, and I have, and I will. But I'm not going to overpay for a player that I want just to trash my team. That's not going to be a thing.
Hoos didn't draft a running back until the 13th round.
That sounds like
crazy
him.
Talk.
I know. That he went super Hoos.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's hilarious. Another tight end I am also targeting super late. You can get this guy, you can probably get him off the waivers right now. It's Will Disley. Every time he's played, granted a short amount of time before he gets injured, so matter of time until he gets injured again, he gets touchdowns and just falls the F out every single time he's healthy. So that's another guy I'm targeting super late as well.
Dill Wisley.
That's right. All right. You guys have any other things to chip in on, any of the questions tonight or any things you guys have questions about? We can talk about right now. We got plenty of time left.
I'm kind of bummed nobody asked us questions about like favorite beers or anything like that. Like hopefully the next one, people get their act together and ask us some fun questions.
Like, screw it. Let's do a dynasty beer draft right now.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
Dynasty beer draft.
All right. I'll go first. I'm going to give you guys first picks all night. So I'm going to go with my first, and that is Dead Guy Ale by Rogue.
Oh, the Rogue Dead Guy is a good one.
It's delicious.
It's a good one. It's an expensive beer.
I'm coming out the gate tough, swinging hard with a Fat Tire.
That's a good classic. That's a good classic.
So we're doing ones that are nationally known for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to sit there and say Humble Buzzes or something like that from the Northern Minnesota brewery, it's like...
Yeah, some of these ones up here in Minnesota are pretty kick-ass. I'm going to go with Bell's Two Hearted.
I haven't had that one. I'm going to have to look into that. Problem is, I'm all the way out on the West Coast, guys, so you guys might have different beers than I do. And they're all local beer here. It's very rare I see anything else. I see New Belgium out here, and I do like New Belgium. So I'm going to go ahead and go with a local favorite, and that's by 10 Barrel called Profuse Juice. It's a hazy IPA. Quite delectable.
Those are my favorite.
The hazies?
Yeah, that's the first beer I was drinking during this show was a hazy double.
Same. I love hazies. I think they're so delicious, and I love them. All right, that's that's weird. That one, Mike went second. Yeah, Mike, go ahead. Mike.
I like Longboard IPA. That's a good one right there. I think they might actually be owned by Budweiser now. They might have gotten bought by Budweiser, but there was a time where there was a brewery called the Longboard Brewery.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think there's like a Hawaiian brewery, yeah, right? Yep. Nice. All right, Chris.
I'm gonna go with the Sierra Nevada Torpedo.
Nice, that's a good one.
Torpedo. What is that? Was that like an IPA or?
That's their double IPA.
Okay, you like the bitter stuff, don't you?
I do.
You're just a masochist. You, goodness. All right, I'll go with something you guys should know from the Midwest is from Boulevard. There's their Nutcracker Ale that comes, a seasonal beer that comes out.
The nut.
Is that a brown ale?
It kind of is. It's Christmas ale, but it's from Boulevard, and it's quite delectable. I know I've said that too many times tonight already, but I love that beer so much. Every time I go home for Christmas, I always get a six pack, and I make sure I drink them all in one night.
Greg, I'm not sure if you knew this, but I work at a brewery up here in Minnesota, in addition to teaching math. So
you're a wonderful professor.
Yeah, thank you. So the way it works is that it's called Union 32, and there's 32 beers on the beer wall, and you can get a card. It's basically a self-pour beer wall, like adult frozen yogurt for the most
part.
That's
awesome.
That sounds wonderful. You pour your own beers. Dude,
that's a wonderful place.
I gotta try them all, right? I gotta know what they taste like because I work on the beer wall. So I've had probably 600 different Minnesota beers since living up here for 2 years, and it's amazing. And Christmas ales are awesome.
They are delectable. I keep saying that because it's just scrumdiddlyumptious. I'm going to start saying that instead.
Sorry, Mike, you can take your third round pick.
Oh, yeah. I got to go with the Odell Brewery. I got to go with the Easy Street. I actually used to be a beer guy. I used to sell beer. I used to deliver it and stuff like that. And one time the Odell's family came up and they got us this real cool keg line cleaner kit. Like it was all revolutionary. It was cooler than Budweiser's even. And they're sitting there showing us how to use it, and we run it through all this stuff. And I believe the kid's name was Pete Odell, and his dad was the owner of the company. And he's all, here, we have to try the beer to make sure there's no soap in it. And so I pour, I'm like trying to be legit, and I pour a little in there, and he goes, well, there's no way you can tell with that. And he goes, grab one of those bigger glasses. And so I start pouring big old beers, and before I knew it, I had to get a driver to get me out of there because I wasn't driving home. So it was Odell Brewery. Got to give him a good shout out.
Right on. All right, Chris, what's your next one?
Probably the best IPA I have ever had. You guys have heard of Victory Brewing, right? They're nationwide, I think. The Dirt Wolf IPA by Victory is amazing.
I'll have to try that. If I find it here, as I said, out here, I get nothing but Pacific Northwest beers. I lied. We do get some Hawaiian beers. Kona Brewery, I think that's what they're called.
Kona?
Yeah, I think it's Kona. We also have them out here. Think my next beer real quick. I'm going to go back to Rogue. I do like Rogue quite a bit, and they're national, and it's their Bat Squatch IPA. Yes, it's quite delectable. It has a See, I keep saying delectable. Scrumdiddlyumptious. There we go. All right.
It's fantastic. That's what I just keep saying.
It's fantastic.
It works.
There you go.
My next one would be Zonkers by the Snake River Brewery. It's a stout. It's delicious. It's as thick as coffee. It's tasty. Good stuff.
Fourth round pick. I gotta go with. I want to go with another IPA that's nationwide, but I think I'm gonna switch it up. And I'm gonna go with the classic. And this is one for when you're grilling out with your buddies playing cornhole, or as my wife's family in Illinois calls it, bags. It's just a dumb name for it. It's cornhole. Give me Bud Light.
What?
Yeah, give me Bud Light for outside grilling, making burgers, playing cornhole.
I wanted to drink water. Playing water.
Playing softball.
Right. You said Dasani wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that Arrowhead? What? Jeez. If we're going to go into light beers, I'm going to go ahead and just go PBR. And that's what I would drink if I had a choice of a national beer that's out there. It'd be, or actually, I lied. Sorry. Give me Colorado Kool-Aid, of course.
There you go, baby, right there. Coors Light, CL smoothies all day, buddy. I'm a man of the Rockies.
We don't need to get into, you know what, the next great debate show is going to be Bud Light versus Coors Light.
And I will destroy you. That will be one that has a winner. I will go with Coors Light. That actually has a winner, and I will win.
And it'll be Bud Light.
No, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Coors Light's so much better.
Well, all right, we'll go with one more pick. And I actually got a Twitter question asked, a Twitter poll we can bring up and talk about that if we want. Or we can keep bullshitting about shit. I don't care either way.
Let's do one more beer round.
You're up. Yes. Wait, Mike, you said Coors Light, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did a light beer round. Let's see. Is Three Floyds nationwide? I thought they were.
They might be.
Maybe not. They're an Indiana brewery, but they're massive. So I won't pick Three Floyds. Give me Dogfish Head 90 Minute IPA.
I've heard of Dogfish.
I've actually heard of Dogfish too.
Okay. I'm going to go with Smithwick's. It's a international
Smithwick's.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I've always called it Smithwick's. And I'll say it right. Whatever. I know people are probably yelling at me. I've always enjoyed their delicious Irish ale personally. It's quite delectable. I'm just going to keep saying get unknown it.
It goes great with a shepherd's pie when you're at an actual Irish pub.
There's a good song out there about going to the Irish pub. I should sing it, but I might offend some people, so I'm not going to.
Okay, well.
With my singing, not the lyrics.
Well, for my final one, I would be remiss to not mention at least one Florida brewery, and that's the Florida brewery, and there's their stout beer, Swamp Ape, because how cool is that? Swamp Ape.
That's pretty cool.
That'd be the scary. It might be.
Is it made with like
everything
gator
down
skin?
Here has a little bit of gator skin in it, though. A little bit of gator skin, a little bit of swamp water. You get used to it.
Probably a little bit of people, too, because yeah. Isn't that
alligators
all alligators
eat people
eat
and little
people?
Dogs.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, let's go back to a more serious topic now. All right. So on Twitter, this guy asked me to basically I answer a lot of Twitter questions, mostly just retweet and I'll answer and get my point of view on there. So a lot of people like to ask me questions sometimes. And Dynasty Trade Calculator says I lost in this, but he says, help me out. 10 team, Dynasty, PPR, Superflex. This is one side. Aaron Jones, Raheem Mostert, 2021 late second, 2022 second. That's one side. The second side is Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Philip Lindsay, and Anthony McFarlane. Which side do you guys got? Chris?
Can you say those again real quick? I'm going to type them into the show notes here so I can see them. You said Aaron Jones, Raheem Mostert, 2021 late. Second, and a 2022
He's
second.
He's predicting it to be late, but yes.
Okay.
Late on both of them? One.
Okay. And then the second one
is Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Philip Lindsay, and Anthony McFarlane.
God, I think I like the first side better.
Same.
Wow, you guys know I love Melvin Gordon. He is my favorite fantasy football player.
I thought Philip Rivers was.
I absolutely love
I knew
love
you were
going to
be at angst with
Philip
that.
Philip Rivers was.
And I love James Conner when he plays. I don't really care about Philip Lindsay, but if Gordon does get hurt, Lindsay does become a serviceable player. If Conner gets hurt, McFarland could be a serviceable player. I don't like Aaron Jones. Oh, man, this one's tough. The fantasy homer and Melvin Gordon lover in me is saying take the Gordon side. Take the running backs.
Yeah, I can't do it. I mean, I like your logic, I do, but I got to lean on the first side first.
I don't like Aaron Jones because I think he had a great year, don't be wrong, but it was touchdown out the ass. And they brought in A.J. Dillon, who's going to vulture touchdowns. And also with a coaching staff who did not know what to do with Derrick Henry. Look what he did last year. They finally go, hey, I'm going to start Derrick Henry all of these games instead of Deion Lewis. And look what they got. I have issues with Aaron Jones, but I still like the Aaron Jones side.
Aaron Jones also only has 1 year left on his contract.
He might go on to bigger, better things then, maybe.
Or he might jump into a committee where
he is
the
in committee. But yeah, you might.
And Raheem Mostert is 28. Then you get 2 second-round picks, whereas you get Melvin Gordon and James Conner, and those guys could potentially be locks for top 15 running backs for a few years.
Melvin Gordon, I'd say yes. James Conner, I don't see him. His contract expires this year. I don't see him staying with the Steelers.
I will say when Connor's healthy, he's an RB1.
But how? No that's doubt. What, half a season?
Yeah, like 3 games.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Maybe 3 games. I'm still taking the 4 running backs. It does kind of suck to have to drop 2 players for this because I don't know if there's a guy on my team I would drop to take Anthony McFarlane. You know,
if you would want him, if you had to take James Connor. Like, I think.
Right. But you're also with this trade, presumably you're going to have to drop 2 players.
Maybe, but, you know, I can pull up one of my dynasty teams right now and probably go, yeah, I'd rather have Anthony McFarlane over a B, C, D player.
Guys,
fair enough. And then Gordon, Connor, and Lindsay should
guys
all be rostered.
Don't even have teams next to their names anymore. They're long gone.
I just realized I was looking on MFL ADP and I forgot to mention this player. We're talking about late round sleepers earlier. And I forgot to mention him. That was Preston Williams. I love this kid. He's definitely should grab him late in drafts. You can get him 12th round, not later. I saw his ADP is like 151 or something like that. And that's just a crime.
Honestly, so I thought you said him because I was going to say, I thought we were talking about late rookie dynasty drafts, right? That's what I was thinking we were talking about. So that's my guy for late rounders, Preston Williams, man. I love that guy getting him late. He's one of those forgotten soldiers that got hurt last year too, that nobody remembers being so good. And boy, like, when he's on the field, Devontae Parker does better. I mean, it's good. I like him a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for me, it's like, I don't disagree. He's another second year wide receiver. I'm telling you, a lot of guys, people just forget about these rookie wide receivers last year that get injured. Like Paris Campbell was a first round rookie wide receiver in rookie drafts last year. And you can get him cheap right now. And Jay Jaw was too. Jay Jaw was a early second, late first, depending on how much you liked him. And you can get him for a third round pick right now because people go, oh, he didn't do anything. Guess what? Rookies sometimes don't do anything. It is a thing. I'm looking at one of my teams I just drafted this year. It was an auction. I have Kelvin Harmon. I'd rather have Anthony McFarlane than Kelvin Harmon. I also have Jamichael Hasty. I'd rather have Anthony McFarlane instead of Jamichael Hasty.
You're going to say Jermichael Finley. And I was like, you can drop his ass right now.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying, in most deeper dynasty leagues, there's generally you can make room for a Anthony McFarlane. So,
fair enough.
My opinion. Well, guys, I think that's all I got. Unless we want to BS about anything else, but I think that's all we got. Any objections?
Yep, I think we're good too.
All right,
I think we're good.
Guys, tell the listeners where they can find you at.
You can find me on Twitter at prof_chrissw and then on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris.
And you can find me on most aisles in any grocery stores right next to Dirty Rice. It is the Dirty Mike. No, you can find me at Dirty Jobs 21 on Twitter and at Dirty Jobs on Sleeper. That's you can find me anywhere at Dirty Jobs. Oh,
that's awesome. You can find me at Dino Mechanic, and that's on Twitter and Sleeper. Before you go, please submit your questions via email or reaching out directly to me at Dino Mechanic on Twitter or at DynastyShotTalk@gmail.com or via Sleeper channel as well. There'll be plenty of separate topics inside there on the Sleeper app. It's been a pleasure. Have a good one, guys.
Peace.